white lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. Heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around him. Heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. Thank you.
reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the first chapter. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. At that time, Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And he said, "Truly, I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. You've been hearing the past few weeks of the various promises God made to his people through the prophet Isaiah. And we haven't even scratched the surface of these messianic promises included just in this book of the Bible alone. There's so many, it's near impossible to count them all. Yet even in these short weeks, God has revealed to you that Jesus is the long-promised one who Isaiah twice foretold it, as that beautiful Advent and Christmas hymn so beautifully proclaims. And today, in our final installment, you hear those words from Isaiah 11, and you see some very special things about the Lord who would come and did come. In our adult catechesis class this past Monday evening, we were discussing the first part of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, which pertains to the confession that Jesus is true God and true man, and how important that is for us as God's people. And last Advent, we did our series on this very topic, the two natures of Christ united in his one person. And so this prophecy today confesses this truth and shows us some similar things which give us great comfort. So the fact that a stoop comes from the stump of Jesse and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit locates the coming of Jesus into a lineage of people. Think about that. Jesus has ancestors. He has a family in this world with whom he shares a bloodline. God entered into this world in a real historic line. He came into history and was faithful to promises he made to his people all the way back to Genesis and through the ages and generations. And Jesus is set apart. This man who comes from the line of David is singled out as someone distinct. He is anointed or set apart by God. We call that the Messiah, the Christ. The Spirit of the Lord rests upon him and what goes along with this Spirit. Isaiah tells us, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So you see this imagery and proclamation in other places, like at his baptism, for example, or even at the Mount of Transfiguration, singling him out, this one, this Spirit, the Spirit of God rest upon this one from the line of David, this Jesus. Now, the formula of Concord references this specific section of Isaiah when it confesses who Jesus is as God and man. It states this, it says, we believe, teach, and confess that God the Father was given his Spirit to Christ, his beloved Son, according to the received humanity. Because of this, he is also called Messiah, the Anointed. He has not received his gifts with limits as other saints, for on Christ the Lord, according to his received human nature, rests the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So this is not in such a way that as a man he knew and could only do some things like other saints. No one can do things by God's Spirit who works in them only created gifts. According to his divinity, Christ is the second person in the Holy Trinity. And from him, as also from the Father, the Holy Spirit proceeds. So the Spirit is and remains Christ and the Father's own Spirit to all eternity, not separated from God's Son. So here then we see then everything that belongs to God belongs to the Son. It's placed upon him. This person, this one who came into our human history, is the one with whom these things rest. And along with this are the works that he does as God's anointed. Isaiah goes on, his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. And we know all too well that since the fall into sin, man is sinful from the time of his conception in his mother's womb. And the sinful condition has been passed down from Adam to the present. All the generations of men from Adam and Eve onward are included. Jesus came into history in line of people, but as you heard, the first week he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. So he is your brother in the flesh, only without sin. Yet he redeems you and your humanity as only he can do, because his delight is in the fear of the Lord. He judges righteously, even as he lived out God's law perfectly, fully, and completely. His obedience to the Father is your righteousness, as Romans 5 proclaims. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. So in that reading from Luke as well, Jesus goes to the synagogue. He reads the scriptures to them. And the scroll of the prophet was given to him, and we're told that he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then after this, something extraordinary happens in that text from Luke. Jesus preached to them about this word of God, and he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So just as Isaiah promised long ago of what was to come, and they were looking with eager anticipation, here in their midst was the fulfillment of what was spoken by God through his prophets. Now he had come. Now Jesus is in their midst. Jesus is God incarnate. The time of waiting was over, but they didn't receive him. A prophet was not welcome in his own town. But it is this Messiah who would deliver the people, who sat in darkness of sin and in the shadow of death. It would be none other than God himself. Came to redeem them as only he could do as fully God and fully man. He had come to set out and accomplish what he had come to do. So for you, dear people of God, this proclamation of Jesus is for you as your Lord has come, as he's here through his means of grace, and as he's coming again. Not only that, but you see where you fit into all of this, as St. Paul wrote in that reading from Romans. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So Paul was called as an apostle by that same Christ, the only Christ who was promised of old. He, Jesus, is the same Lord who is your Lord. Baptized into Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have been clothed with Christ. So all the righteousness of Christ, all his work is counted to you through faith, and his faithfulness is your redemption. So the point in all of this is not just some academic exercise, but as you see Advent coming to a close, we're in the third week of Advent, and it comes to a close this Sunday and then those few remaining days at the beginning of next week. Take all of this to heart. Listen. Listen to your Lord Jesus, who came into this world and who was born in Bethlehem. Look at those, the Old Testament and specifically the prophet Isaiah, as words of promise and words of hope. Because you see God's faithfulness to his people throughout the generations and the ages as they looked forward to the day when the scriptures were fulfilled in their midst. And seeing all this too, your salvation, which God planned, which he proclaimed, and which he accomplished for you. And next week, when you gather here in this place and hear the Christmas story, see all of God's promise fulfilled in the Christ child, God in the flesh, born for you. And through this all, baptized into Christ, see that God is still here for you. See that he comes to you, and as you have his word, and that he still comes even bodily through his Holy Supper. So rejoice in all of these things, looking forward to that final day when he comes again in great glory, and you're no longer assailed and assaulted by sin, death, and the devil, but you're forever in the glorious, unveiled presence of your Lord and his saints. This is Christ, your Lord, who continues and will do this for you. O Savior, child of Mary, who felt our human woe, O Savior, King of glory, who dost our weakness know, bring us at length, we pray, to the bright courts of heaven and to the endless day. Amen.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
Lord, hear us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Merciful and everlasting God, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all to bear our sins on the cross. Grant that our hearts may be so fixed with steadfast faith in him that we fear not the power of sin, death, and the devil. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.